Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
War in Europe as Russia attacks Ukraine.
It does seem possible that Russia's goal is to make its way to Kiev, the capital, in order to take over Ukraine.
Plus, world leaders promise new sanctions as global investors rush for safety.
People have been very optimistic about the state of the world, and all of a sudden, this is a wild card. This can change people's view.
It's Thursday, February 24th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Russia has invaded Ukraine, with troops and tanks entering the country from various points and airstrikes hitting the capital, Kiev, and more than a dozen other cities. During an emergency UN Security Council meeting meant as an 11th-hour effort to dissuade Russia from war, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, asked Russian President Vladimir Putin to give peace a chance.
President Putin, in the name of humanity, bring your troops back to Russia. In the name of humanity, do not allow to start in Europe what could be the worst war since the beginning of the century.
Just before the attack began, Putin announced on television he had ordered a military invasion. He aimed, he said, to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine and bring its leaders to trial. Ukrainian officials said an initial wave of strikes targeted military installations, airfields, and government facilities across the country, as well as border force installations. In a televised early morning address, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky called on citizens to remain calm. He said he ordered the introduction of martial law across Ukraine and had spoken with U.S. President Joe Biden. President Biden called Putin's move an unprovoked, unjustified attack and pledged further action against Russia. President Putin has chosen a premeditated war that will bring a catastrophic loss of life and human suffering, he said in a statement. We'll have more on the international response to the Russian invasion later in our show. But first, let's go to Ukraine's capital, Kiev, where WSJ national security reporter Brett Forrest is this morning. Brett, welcome.
Hi, Luke. How are you?
I'm okay. Give us the very latest, if you could. What is happening now, both where you are in the capital, but also elsewhere around Ukraine?
Well, everybody was woken early this morning with Russian missiles and airstrikes hit Kiev, Ukraine's capital, and more than a dozen other cities, mostly targeting airfields, government buildings, military installations. We're talking, of course, not just Kiev, but we're talking every major and mid-level city across the country, Kharkiv, Mariupol, Donetsk, Zaporozhye, Lugansk, and onward from there, with footage of armored vehicles, tanks crossing the border into Ukraine, followed by troops, airstrikes. There are videos of missile strikes, small arms fire in many places. It really seems to be simply a full-on Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Do we have any news regarding fatalities on either the Russian or Ukrainian sides at this point?
Officials from the Interior Ministry of Ukraine have said that hundreds have died, and of course they predict many more fatalities. There are videos I've seen, unconfirmed videos of dead Ukrainian soldiers, but it's just simply too early at the moment to make a tally, as officials here are spread thin and they're rapidly trying to get their arms around what's going on.
And I've got to ask, how are people in Kiev, where you are, responding to everything that's going on right now?
Everyone here is shocked. Everyone here knew that this might be coming for months. It was predicted and discussed. And now that it's here, it's very hard to fathom. And people here, a lot of them have fled, but a lot remain. And most of these people are indoors right now, which I think is probably not surprising. There aren't many folks on the street. And while there's not a lot of action at the moment here in the capital, there is a sense of foreboding that that may change and that Russian forces are headed this way.
You mentioned that the military operations we've seen on the Russian side have not been confined to any one area of Ukraine. Do we have an understanding of the extent of this operation? Clearly, it's geographically widespread, but do we know what the end game is?
We don't know the end game as yet, but as troops enter from various directions and as airstrikes continue in all over the country, it does seem possible that Russia's goal is to make its way to Kiev, the capital, in order to take over Ukraine. As President Vladimir Putin of Russia said in recent hours and recent days, his goal is to hold Ukraine's leaders to account and put them on trial for the last 8 years of events in Donbas.
Brett, could you tell me more about Vladimir Putin's justifications for this attack?
Sure. Well, he initially had a meeting of his National Security Council, which was televised publicly and was heavily stage managed and meant to give sort of legal cover, if you will, for what was to come. And that was later followed by a lengthy, nearly hour-long speech that Putin gave on his own, in which he laid the additional groundwork for what we're seeing now. After that, there was a formal request from the leaders of the Donetsk People's Republic and the Luhansk People's Republic, the two separatist regions in eastern Ukraine and in the Donbas region, for formal military assistance from Russia. And when that happened late yesterday, we all understood that this was now coming.
Okay, so let's look at the Ukrainian response to all of this, shall we? Is the Ukrainian military fighting back? How is it responding to this Russian attack?
So far, we're not seeing direct confrontation of infantry. Russian troops and armored vehicles have crossed into the country at more than one point easily. There have been Ukrainian claims that air defense systems have downed several Russian planes and or drones, but Russia has denied this. And Russia also claims that it has destroyed Ukrainian aircraft at airfields. But it's a little too early to figure out what the Ukrainian defense strategy is right now.
And if those Russian troops do, in fact, make it to the Ukrainian capital, that must have wider implications for Europe and continental security.
It certainly does. Why did the Baltic states display such eagerness to join NATO after the fall of the Soviet Union? Because of this. I'm not saying that the United States has not made mistakes since the collapse of the Soviet Union in its relations with Russia. I think there have been mistakes made on both sides. I think opportunities have been squandered on both sides. But the countries that were either constituent members against their own will of the Soviet Union or bordering countries in the Warsaw Pact, we know that these countries were the most eager to join NATO after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And now, in all of those capitals, everyone realizes that these events have the possibility to change everybody's calculus on their own national security.
That was WSJ national security reporter Brett Forrest joining us from Kiev, Ukraine. Brett, thank you so much for the report and stay safe.
Thank you, Luke.
Coming up, Russia's invasion is already drawing a substantial diplomatic response and moving global markets. We'll discuss NATO's latest moves, Western sanctions threats, and a look at the economic consequences of war in Ukraine after the break.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Many countries have already responded to Russia's invasion of Ukraine this morning by condemning President Vladimir Putin and calling for further sanctions. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said Russia's actions posed a serious threat to Euro-Atlantic security as alliance members prepare for an emergency meeting. Meanwhile, NATO member Turkey is being called upon by Ukraine to block Russian warships from entering the Black Sea via the Bosphorus Strait, something the country's Security Council is debating this morning. Sanctions are also being ramped up, with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen saying the EU plans to target Russia's financial sector, freezing Russian assets and banning the export of technology to Russia. She also warned that the Russian attack on Ukraine threatens international security.
We are facing an unprecedented act of aggression by the Russian leadership against a sovereign, independent country. Russia's target is not only Donbas. The target is not only Ukraine. The target is the stability in Europe and the whole of the international peace order. And we will hold President Putin accountable for that.
That sentiment was echoed in Washington, where lawmakers from both parties quickly called for increasing sanctions on Russia and boosting NATO defenses. The UN Security Council will also vote on a resolution against Russia later today, but Moscow is unlikely to face any consequences there, as it holds a veto in the Council and currently holds its rotating presidency. And the market reaction has also been swift, sending investors rushing to safety and prices for bonds and gold higher. Riskier assets like stocks have also seen a sell-off, and Brent crude prices have surged past $100 a barrel for the first time since 2014, amid investor fears of an oil supply crunch. Here to unpack the markets and business impact of the latest from Ukraine is the Journal's European finance editor, Alex Frangos. Hi, Alex.
Morning.
How surprising are the market moves we've seen so far?
Well, not too surprising. I mean, you have a massive land war in Europe for the first time in a generation, and Russia is a huge supplier of energy and key commodities to the global economy, upends a whole bunch of things. And I think there were a lot of people who were hoping it wouldn't happen. And even though it was well telegraphed, it's still, in a way, a surprise.
Let's talk about oil for a second, which oil prices have hit an 8-year high now. Lots of people listening are already concerned about their heating bills. Could we see energy prices go even higher as this conflict unfolds?
Certainly is a possibility. Gas prices are higher this morning, both in the U.S. and much, much higher in Europe, which relies on Russia directly for natural gas. But, you know, Russia is a huge exporter of oil, one of the biggest in the world. And as the conflict develops, it's not clear whether there will be restrictions on how much oil it's going to provide into the global market. So that's a real possibility.
Yeah, Vladimir Putin thus far has said he doesn't plan to shut off European gas supplies, but conflict in Ukraine, a major crossroads in the energy trade, could interrupt those supplies, could it not?
It could. I mean, just the physical realities of war mean that the pipelines that go through Ukraine may have to be shut down temporarily or over long periods. If there's fighting around the pipelines, if they were to be damaged, it could cause huge explosions and things like that. So that the Ukrainian gas company have told us that that might cause a disruption in addition to any like purposeful cutoffs that may or may not happen.
And turning to sanctions, which are often a big concern for investors, do we have a sense of what moves we could see from Western allies and what impact those could have?
Yeah, well, the West obviously unveiled some limited menu of sanctions earlier this week and have promised a much more robust set in the case of a full invasion, and that's where we are. So everyone is expecting more. The question is how much. The thing with sanctions is they have a tendency to boomerang on the people who impose them. And so it's how much pain is Europe and the U.S. willing to take in order to punish Russia? So if they impose sanctions directly on energy supplies coming out of Russia, for instance, that could be very damaging to the European economy and much less allowing people to heat their homes. So it's a question as to how deep those sanctions can go.
Right. And then there are risks here potentially that go beyond Europe as well.
Absolutely. I mean, the global economy right now is dealing with a huge supply chain problem and inflation in pretty much everywhere. And this is just going to add pressure to that. And it's a time when central banks are looking at raising interest rates, and that can slow down the economy. So you get this kind of nasty brew of inflation, uncertainty, higher interest rates, possibly slower economy, and that can really reverberate around the world.
Yeah, so it sounds like this could really herald a new and troubling reality in many ways for global investors, does it not?
Well, I mean, I think for investors in the U.S. who are sitting there thinking I'm a million miles away from this, markets have gone up a lot. And they pulled back a bit recently, but people have been very optimistic about the state of the world. And all of a sudden, this can change people's view. And markets have a way of overcorrecting. And so that can create some real drama in markets in, you know, in the weeks and months ahead.
That was the Journal's European finance editor, Alex Frangos. Alex, thank you.
Great. Good to be with you. Thanks.
And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. For live coverage of the developments in Ukraine and the international reaction, visit the Journal's live blog at WSJ.com. I'm Luke Vargas for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.